Let me thank the church group for those beautiful pieces. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And while you're turning to the place, let me thank the elders for the opportunity to bring the good news of the gospel message another night. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to start and read from verse number 17. Verse number 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Finishing there our reading, and we trust that God will bless the public reading of his word once again. Our title for tonight's gospel message is How to Actually Have a Happy New Year. When I was first asked to speak at the gospel meeting, I was very aware of the date being the 2nd of January, and I couldn't really get away from this thought of Happy New Year. I'm sure as many of you have even been in church today, you will have heard these three simple words that are so common at this time of year, and maybe you've been sending messages to people in your recent contact lists and greeting those people who you've come in contact with those three simple little words, and you probably will continue to do it for the next few days. Tonight, very simply, I want to take each of those three words, happy, new, and year, as our three points for tonight's gospel message. So, by way of introduction, the first one, happy. What is happiness? How do you measure it? How do you define it? Well, if you go and ask Google what the definition of happy is, you get 4,550 million results in under 1 second. So needless to say, I didn't read all of those. But it's true, there's a lot of material out there about happiness. And based on the laws of supply and demand, there's obviously a lot of interest in happiness. The material covered everything from how to get happiness, how to get it back, how to measure it, and so on and so forth. But for the sake of simplicity tonight, I just want to take the Oxford Dictionary definition for happiness. And it says it's an adjective, feeling, or showing pleasure or contentment. And it's that last bit that I want to hone in on tonight, contentment. The first thing I want to ask you, dear unsaved, in the meeting tonight, are you content? Are you truly content? Or let me put it another way, are you carefree, cheerful at the prospects of life? Are you always worrying, seeking satisfaction, and feeling like you're constantly grasping after true contentment? In the Bible, we read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And the Apostle Paul could say that because he knew that it was well with his soul. And that is the secret to contentness. The world today has many positive psychological studies and exercises that you can do to help with your happiness. But I want to tell you tonight that the best way to know true happiness and true contentment in this coming year, it doesn't come from a bottle, doesn't come from a bank balance, doesn't come from hobbies or family. It comes through knowing your sins forgiven and being made into a new creation. By being saved and having your sins forgiven, that doesn't mean you have to run around with a grin from here to here, 365 days of 2022, by no means does it. But it does mean that whatever befall you, you can know that Jesus doeth all things well. Dear unsaved person here tonight, I want you to truthfully ask yourself, do you have that lasting contentment from day to day? If the answer is no, let's continue on to our second bullet point, and that is new. So we've done happy as by means of introduction. Let's see the second phrase, new. And for that, we all know the date has changed, or the last digit of the date has changed in recent days. But what does that really mean to you and me in our daily lives? So let me clear it up. For some, it might mean another year older, maybe another year wiser, although those two can be mutually exclusive. But if I was to ask you what has really changed from 11:59 on Friday night to 6:35 tonight, what has changed? You're most likely living in the same house. You probably have the same job, same dreams. You like the same things. You have the same problems. You have the same worries. You have the same difficulties. And the news will most likely be saying something very similar to what it was saying at the end of 2021 when you turn it on, maybe tomorrow. From our reading tonight, I want to show you that how to truly have a new start. Unlike the world, as it tries to form New Year's resolutions that usually have good intentions by all means, but just don't seem to have the longevity to last, the Bible's new way is something far better than a New Year's resolution. Verse 17 of our reading is the scope of salvation, is the first thing we see. It says, therefore, if any man. That phrase in the Greek could be rendered whosoever or anyone. So in essence, that means any man, woman, boy, girl, granny, granda, Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, black, white, or anything else that you can think of. The scope of the gospel's new way is for everybody, and all can avail of this new way. The second thing we see is the object of our faith. We see, therefore, if any man be in Christ. In Christ is our object. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way that you can avail of the Bible's new way. There is no other way. Salvation cannot be bought. It cannot be earned. It cannot be manufactured. It is a gift that can only come through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. So we've seen the scope. We've seen the object of the new way. Let's look at the results. Back to verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That word creature can also be translated as creation. And when a sinner gets saved, God makes them completely anew within. The old things are passed away. And I like how the Amplified Bible actually puts it. It puts it that the previous moral and spiritual condition is passed away. That's what happens, dear unsaved person, when someone gets saved. That deadness within each of our lives, which within a sinner's life, is filled with the Holy Spirit, and we become alive with the Holy Spirit. That's what sometimes the preacher will refer to as being born again, made anew, recreated, and given that Holy Spirit within at the point of conversion. So we've seen that that's the result, but how does that result happen? How did that happen? Well, we're told how it happened in verse 18 and verse 19. In verse 18, we see that we have a theme of reconciliation, and in verse 19, we have a theme of imputation. So let's take reconciliation first in verse 18. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but reconciliation probably isn't the word that most of us use in our day-to-day vocabulary. So let me break it down. It refers to a change in relationship between God and mankind. The meaning of the Greek word reconciliation means that one party has moved away from the relationship. And of course, that one party, in this case, is mankind. And that was Adam when he took of that forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden and sin entered into the world. Man inevitably tries to fix this problem multiple times through the use of religion, but he can never truly get to the root of the problem, and it can never fix it. The only way that man can be reconciled or reconnected to God is by the Lord Jesus Christ's finished work on Calvary. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," that's Adam, "and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Dear sinner friend, it's not because of anything you have specifically done that you are a sinner. You were born a sinner, just the same as everybody else in the world, just the same as me, just the same as each one in this building tonight. You were born a sinner. And because of that, you need to be reconnected to God. You need to be reconciled to God. If you'd allow me to bring it up to maybe 21st century analogy, if you're watching a streaming platform and you've downloaded a movie, or you're streaming a movie, maybe on your laptop or on a smart TV or something like that, you need the internet. You need to be connected to the internet for that to work. But sometimes it happens that we get disconnected from the internet, from our smart TV or from our laptop. And at that point, the picture freezes, the sound stops. Sometimes you might get a wee circle coming up to say loading, or three wee dots saying trying to reconnect. And that is the picture of reconciliation. It's unlikely that those streaming services have disappeared. With the amount of servers that they have, they are probably still there on the World Wide Web. It's more likely that your device, your smart TV or your laptop, has become disconnected from the internet. And that's the exact same as mankind. Man has become disconnected from God when Adam ate of the fruit in the Garden of Eden. And the only person that can reconnect the sinner to God is the Lord Jesus Christ through his work on Calvary. Verse 19 then goes on to bring in imputation. It says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." The term imputing is borrowed from the world of banking. It means to put to one's account. The idea behind this theme is that God imputes, or maybe credits, the righteousness of his dear Son and the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the sinner, and conversely imputes the sins of the redeemed to Christ. Let me break that down as well, because there's a lot in there. Basically, if you think of it like bank transfers, it's like someone transferring all your debt from your bank accounts into their account, then proceeding to settle all that debt with the bank, and then transferring you a credit in the place of that debt. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done when he imputed his righteousness onto sinners who accept him as their own personal Savior, and God imputes our sin onto him so that it can be paid for. Imputation is based on Old Testament sacrificial structures seen in the place of the Day of Atonement, where the sins of the people were transferred to the scapegoat. And we have recently studied that a few weeks ago. And in the New Testament, Paul talks about it mostly. He's the most prolific one of it. And it's all about Christ imputing the sin to Christ, the Christian sin getting imputed to Christ, and Christ's righteousness getting imputed to the Christian. Martin Luther famously said this was the glorious exchange, our sins for Christ's righteousness. So that's the scope of the Bible's new way. It's for everyone. The object is in Christ, and the results of the Bible's new way is a new creation which comes about through reconciliation and imputation that was done on Calvary. Verse 21 then shows us the method of how this new way was made physically. Verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." Here we see the exchanging Lord Jesus Christ. The one who took your place, the one who took my place on the cross, he became our substitute and paid the price for sin. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says the same, "We are all like sheep and have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Lord hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. He became sin for us. He is the exchanging Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21 goes on to say, "Who knew no sin." Here we see the unchanging Lord Jesus Christ. We've had the exchanging Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have the unchanging Lord Jesus Christ. How that he was always sinless, spotless, perfect. And that was the reason that he was qualified to be the only acceptable sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 accounts for this. It says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." He is the unchanging Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21 then continues on to say that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Here we see that he's the all-changing Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pull out a few words in that last phrase. First one is "we." Paul here is talking to Christians in the context of this passage. But tonight I want to apply it to both saved and unsaved. The wonderful thing for those of us that are saved is that it's a wonderful reminder that we have past tense, been made the righteousness of God. And for anyone here who's unsaved tonight, you can, present tense, today, be made the righteousness of God. You can know your sins forgiven. You can truly have a biblical, happy new year. The next word I want to call out in the verse is that we word "might." So we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That word reminds me tonight that while there is provision for all, for salvation, it is not automatically applied by default. It needs you, dear unsaved friend, to do something. You need to request it by turning from your sins, repenting from your sin, believing in the finished work of Calvary, and confessing that he is Lord and Savior of your life. Because of Calvary, believers are going to heaven to live with Christ forever. But it's only believers, dear unsaved friend, get entry into heaven. Everyone else, unfortunately, will end up in that awful place called hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. How awful it would be, dear friend, tonight, after listening to maybe many gospel messages, and probably this one, the first of 2022, and not taking your opportunity. After all, none of us know what a day may bring forth. It could be that some in the meeting here tonight may not even see the end of 2022, maybe not even see the end of this month, or even the end of this day. So we've seen the scope of the Bible's new way. It's for everyone. We've seen the object of faith. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen the results of the Bible. It makes us a new creation by reconciling and imputing righteousness to us. And we've seen how physically that was accomplished. It was made possible by the work of the cross. The third word, and the final word in the commonly heard phrase, Happy New Year, is of course, year. And I'm sure if I was to ask some of the children in the meeting here tonight, what is a year? They would be able to tell me that it's the amount of time that it takes the Earth to orbit, to do one complete orbit of the sun. And that usually measures in at about 365 days and a quarter. So essentially, it's a measurement of time. And that's why we read the first two verses in chapter 6 tonight. The second part of chapter 2 says, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Unsaved boy, girl, man or woman, God has took the punishment for your sin and for my sin and paid the debt that he didn't owe. But this offer of salvation won't last forever. There are two ways in which this offer becomes invalid. At the point of your death and at the second coming of the Lord. Both of those scenarios are unknown to all of us. Dear unsaved person in the meeting tonight, make sure that you do not miss your opportunity. This time frame for you to make the decision is not this year. It's not next year, sometime. It's not when you're older. It's not when you're on your deathbed. The Bible reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 that behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. An article in the UNC TV Science published on the 7th of February 2018 estimated that the average adult makes about 1,000 decisions or thousands of decisions in any one day. For example, do I want coffee? Do I want tea? What should I wear to work? What road am I going to take to work? Do I like a friend's post on Facebook, etc., etc.? You get the point. Researchers at Cornell University estimate that we make 226.7 decisions each day on food alone. And as our level of responsibility increases, so does the multitude of choices that we have to make. And they estimate that the average adult makes about 35,000 remotely conscious decisions every single day. Let me add one more for you tonight. Let me push it to 35,001 decisions. What are you going to do with God's offer of salvation tonight? Are you going to accept it now? Or are you going to reject it? Those are the only two options, dear unsaved friend. There's no option to think about it. There's no option to phone a friend. The only two options are accept it now or reject it now. In concluding, I trust all here will have a happy new year. But more so, I trust that if you're unsaved here tonight, that you will have a biblical happy new year, that you will know inner contentment of your sins forgiven by asking the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, by being made anew through the work of reconciliation of Christ on the cross, and by having that deciding grace now that will not only last for this year, but will make you ready and fit for heaven in the great eternity to come. I trust this message has been of help to some tonight. Our closing hymn tonight is Sinner, How Thy Heart is Troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear.